I have two more for you tonight. At this point, I'd be doing this work for more than a year, and it was great, don't get me wrong. I love being rootless, traveling. I love the scenery, I love the stories. I knew I was just living vicariously through the people I met, not really having my own paranormal experiences. I was just piggybacking on someone else. That was fine. I didn't want ghosts or creatures of my own, and had more than enough of them in infected town. So maybe you can understand why the shadow people were already starting to piss me off. I mean, yeah, they were startling and noisy and creepy as hell past midnight. But what was really irritating was how attached to me they seemed. I didn't get it. I wasn't special. I wasn't psychic. I wasn't some sort of magnet for supernatural activity. I sought it out, not the other way around. So why me? It started to feel like pressure, like they were waiting for me to see something or find something or connect some kind of dots. Or else why would they stick around? Not like I was getting anything of importance done. I was just floating from case to case. There was no grand conspiracy, nor interwoven plot. And even if there was, I wasn't fucking interested in mystery solving. But I saw shadow people all the time now, whether or not I was working a case, in bed at night, driving, walking through cities. They were everywhere. I'd catch them out of the corner of my eye, usually alone, sometimes in groups of two or three. I'd turn, fully intending on confronting them somehow, and they'd be gone. It got exhausting to feel so watched, and when I was on a genuinely paranormal case, it was worse. They'd be there in the corner during an interview or bumping around my RV at night afterwards. None of the people I interviewed ever saw them. To them, I must have seemed crazy. I was always flinching at shadows, trailing off and staring into space, turning around when I felt one too many close behind me. It wasn't a great look. I wanted them to leave me alone, but I also didn't want to stop chasing the paranormal. It was too fulfilling, too comforting somehow to find camaraderie in people all over the country. To drop in, record a story, see the evidence, then be able to leave it behind. It was addictive. It was therapeutic. It gave me a feeling of control I desperately needed. Except I couldn't control the shadow people. Couldn't get rid of them. Worst of all, I couldn't understand their motives. But I wouldn't let them ruin it for me. I needed this, goddammit. So I kept going. We'll start with a short one. It's a little different because I couldn't go interview the witness, Marcus, in person. He's traveling Asia at the moment, but his friend contacted me after finding a Craigslist post of mine and gave me Marcus's info. I didn't have anything to do, it was around Christmas, and I definitely did not plan on being home for the holidays. So I reached out. A few emails later, we were messaging on Skype. Marcus has a ton of stories. This one's the weirdest. Case number 16, The God of the Forest. Location, Ross Island, South Ottoman, India. Date, December 22nd, 2017. Witness name, Marcus W. Relationship to case, tourist, explorer. These are the message logs copied and pasted for your enjoyment. Keep in mind, I never met Marcus face to face, but we Skyped a couple times, and I trust the guy. He's smart, college-aged, and has a passion for world travel. He's been abroad for a year and a half now, living the dream, as he puts it. Apparently, it started out as a trip to Botswana to meet his extended family, but he fell in love with Africa, then with the Mediterranean, then with Eastern Europe, and most recently with India. The verdict is still out, but he's not sure if he even wants to return home. Another thing about Marcus is, he's got a thing for the weird and haunted. Needless to say, we hit it off pretty fast. I'll let our messages tell the rest.
Well, have you heard of Ross Island?
No, dude, sorry. I've got zero world knowledge.
Nah, it's cool. I don't think it's that popular for tourists, because it's so far out, but you hear about it locally. Kinda urban legend status. When my friend told me about it, I was like, oh yeah, bitch, bring it on.
What's the deal?
It's this tiny island right off the Andamans, like 10 minutes from Port Blair. That's where my girlfriend's family lives. We were visiting for a few nights. I thought they were pretty, you know, conventional, right? But after a couple beers, her bro started showing me these weird old paranormal/alien websites. Someone's freaky web ring, a fantastical phenomena or something. And obviously that went on into blah, 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 ghosts and shit. And I was like, hell yes, this is my kind of dude. And I got to talking about how much I want to visit Chernobyl someday. And he was like, dude, you have to come see Ross Island. Apparently it was colonized by the British in the 19th century, started as a penal colony, then became the vacation home of rich officers and shit. This shiny paradise surrounded by prison islands where people are dying and shit left and right. Got shut down in World War II though. Abandoned. Now it's just these ruins of like churches and mansions and stores, but all taken back over by the jungle. Creepy looking place. Really cool.
And it's haunted?
Supposedly. Enough people died there. I heard there was a sanatorium there for a while, too. Man, it's got all the cliches.
Dude, tell me you went.
Yeah, obviously, right? I gotta check that shit out. We took the ferry. Spent a couple hours walking around. You should look up pics. It's pretty kinda creepy, though. The church was my favorite. Huge stone church in the middle of the forest, totally overgrown with this big-ass banyan growing right out of the roof. Really fucking cool, dude. We spent a while there. Didn't see any ghosts, though.
I thought you said this one was creepy.
Keep your fucking shirt on. So, the island closes at night, but there's a light show about its history that plays every day around sunset. We were supposed to get back on the boat after that, but I don't know. I think Artie might have bribed someone to let us stay. Artie is my girlfriend's brother, by the way. My girlfriend is Shiley. Anyway, we didn't get back on the ferry to go back to Port Blair, so that's how I figured out why Artie had us pack camping gear. We were gonna stay the night.
Cool.
Yeah, I thought so too. Shiley was pissed. She's more superstitious, though. She got into it after a while, though. Cause secretly, she loves creepy shit as much as me. We headed into the forest, cause the beach wasn't too safe to stay on. The island is owned by the Navy, and they don't fuck around with trespassers. We headed through the trees, way off the beaten trail, trying to find a ruin that wasn't roped off and touristy feeling. We ended up at the foundation of an old house, maybe an old mansion, way off in the woods. Ground was pretty clear and flat, so it seemed like a good place to camp. There was this big fucking banyan growing right out of the center of the foundation, but we figured its branches would be good cover if it started to rain. I don't know if you know what a banyan tree looks like.
Kinda?
Like a bunch of smaller trees all crammed together into one. Very long branches, spaces in the trunk where it looks like smaller trees haven't merged together all the way. Frankenstein trees. They're all over that island. I used to think they were pretty, but I don't know anymore.
Because of Ross Island?
Yeah. So we made camp next to that giant-ass banyan, between the old foundation walls. I hated how the holes in banyans look. There are so many places animals could be hiding and shit. So I put me and Shiley's sleeping bags as far from the tree as I could. I don't know why I didn't ask him to move camp. I was getting really creeped out for whatever reason. Figured it was just being in this weird dark jungle at night. I wasn't used to it. Artie said only deer live on the island, but I was imagining huge leopards stalking us through the trees and shit. I was pretty sure some kind of animal was hiding in the big banyan. Civet or a snake or something. Kept hearing rustling coming from inside the trunk. Artie made fun of us for being pussies, but I was all cozy up against the wall of the ruin. Artie, though, laid his sleeping bag right up against the tree trunk. His head was in this real deep hollow. He slept there. Started snoring immediately. Not me. Yeah. I stayed awake and listened to every sound. Even Shadley fell asleep before me. Do you know how fucking dark it gets in a jungle? It's crazy. Something could sneak up on you so easy. And all night I was sure that was exactly what was gonna happen. I felt like we weren't welcome there. Maybe I was because we were trespassing. I don't know. After a while, I finally fell asleep, and I had this dream. Very, very vivid. I remember it perfectly. I dreamed I was up in the banyan tree at the center of our camp, very high, near the top, and I was looking down at all of us laying down there, watching us sleep. Then I swung my view downwards to get closer, and as I did, I remember there was this loud creaking noise. Creak. If you can imagine. Sounded like the hull of a ship creaking, huge pieces of timber being bent and stretched. Then I was looking down at Shiley and me sleeping next to each other, and I got really close to Shiley's face, checked her out. And then I got really close to my own face, checked me out. Then I noticed Artie. I hadn't noticed him, he was so close to the trunk and I didn't see him before I swung out to look. And creak! I went to check him out. I noticed he was leaned right up against the tree trunk, touching the wood of the banyan. And for some reason, when I saw that, I got really angry. Like, how dare he, you know? None of those were my feelings, me, Marcus. They were all something else's feelings, but I still felt them anyway, in the dream. Does that make sense?
I know what you mean.
I was so pissed at Artie for touching that banyan tree, dude. Angrier than I've ever felt in my life. Artie had this amulet he wore for luck, some Hindu god, Ganesh, I think. Never took it off. His grandpa gave it to him. And in my dream, I saw it around his neck while he was laying there. Kinda hard to miss this big gold elephant. It pissed me off even more. Here was this fucker sleeping right up against my tree. Or my body, maybe? I don't know, it wasn't clear. Anyway, this fucking guy was sleeping against me, but he was wearing the symbol of another god. That was kind of the thought process, not word for word. I couldn't read this thing's mind, but that was the feeling. Jealousy. Anger. This part I couldn't really see through the darkness, but something long and pale came down. Maybe another part of the tree, branch of vine. It wrapped around Artie's amulet, started to pull, and then ripped it off his neck. Artie didn't wake up to that, and just mumbled and rolled over. But once I had the necklace, I gathered myself up, and with a huge creak sound, I don't know how to describe this. I flew upwards into the branches of the tree. No, that's not right. I wasn't flying. I was being propelled on a really long neck. Like I was a face on the end of a vast tree branch. Anyway, I got up to the top of the tree, and there was this weird hole up there between the branches. I carried Artie's amulet up there and looked in. I think it was a nest or cubby hole. And sitting inside it, its back up against the opposite wall, was the body of a man. It made me sad just to look at him. He seemed so pathetic, all curled up on himself. Legs pulled up to an emaciated chest, bony arms wrapped around him. His fingers looked stiff and tense, claw-like. He'd been up in that tree for years, centuries. His skin was desiccated. Shrunken. Ancient. The branches of the banyan had wrapped around his limbs, grown into his skin, merged with him. His head was visible, though. Just a skull, encased in a thin layer of mummified brown skin. His eyes were gone, picked out by birds a long time ago, or eaten by insects. The head was tilted way back against the trunk behind him, and his mouth was open very wide, like a silent scream, lips drawn back from his teeth. And dude, whatever's eyes I was looking through in that dream, it loved the mummy. A really deep, nurturing kind of love. I felt that. had stared at him for a long time. A door. After a while, I took Adi's amulet and dangled it over the corpse's gaping mouth like a bird feeding her babies. And then I let it go. I heard the dry rattle as the necklace hit the corpse's teeth and slid into its mouth and down its throat. And then a plunk when it landed in its hollow stomach. There was a second where I waited, anticipated. And then somewhere in the base of the tree, somewhere down by the roots, this deep, rattling groan began to reverberate. It started out low, but rose in pitch as it traveled up. Up, up, all the way to the top till it came wailing out of the mummy's open mouth. And that's where the dream ended. I woke up.
Good question. In the dream, were you the one making decisions, or were you just watching?
It was more than just watching. Like I said, I could feel all the emotions, but nah, I wouldn't say I was making any decisions either. Just along for the ride in a very connected, empathic way.
Okay. What happened next?
Well, I woke up. Adi was screaming.
Shit.
Yeah, my words exactly. He was screaming bloody fucking murder, laying in the center of the campsite, curled in on himself. Shiley and I ran to him. He was holding his arm. There was a ton of blood. His forearm was completely snapped, shoulder torn out of socket. All his fingers were broken.
What? How?
No idea. He said he woke up to excruciating pain and his arm was just destroyed.
Jesus.
Yeah, so we're scrambling to break camp, and we have no idea what happened. Like, was it an animal attack? Doesn't matter. Adi's bleeding, and we need to find him some help ASAP. I'm wrapping a shirt around his arm, trying not to spew. Then Shiley is like, holy fuck, where's the tree? And we all stop for a second, look up, and that fucking huge-ass banyan that was in the center of our camp? Yeah, it's not there anymore.
What the fuck?
Adi was delirious, in pain, but he said something that stuck with me. He said, my hand was in there. My hand was in there. I asked him about it later. He said that he had his hand between two intertwined banyan branches when he fell asleep, tucked securely between them.
Help me out here. What the fuck does that mean?
It means maybe when the tree moved, Adi's hand got caught in the branches. And when it pulled away, very hard and fast.
The tree broke Adi's arm.
Dude, I know it sounds crazy, but that banyan was there when we fell asleep. And when we woke up, it was gone. And Adi's arm was fucking ruined.
Did it just walk away?
I don't know, man. But there's one more thing. And it's the craziest thing I've ever seen before or since. It was getting light when we left the forest. Out onto the beach. Adi was really pale, but we managed to radio for help. Anyway, he's all right now. But as we were running toward the dock, I looked back into the forest, and I thought I saw something way up high in the trees, near the very top of the branches. It looked like it was floating out of the darkness there. But I got the impression of something huge behind it, holding it up. A gigantic wooden mask. It was pale and round, big black circles for eyes and a tiny crescent for a mouth, like a shy smile. Otherwise, it was totally smooth and featureless. It had an ancient feeling to it, really primitive. I kind of stopped running because it was such a shock to see so high up, coming out of the darkness of the canopy, and it noticed me. There was a creaking sound, the same one I heard in my dream, and the mask tilted to one side, like it was trying to get a better look. Then there was another creaking sound, and whoosh, it disappeared back into the forest.
What the fuck?
Yeah, all true. Swear to God.
So Adi was okay?
Yeah. Well, he's having his second surgery next week, but his arm will be okay. Shiley said something weird, though. After we were safe and had a sec to calm down, I told her about my dream, and she said she dreamed the exact same thing. Every detail.
Weird.
She thinks it was something really spiritual. Like some kind of protector of the island. A lost god. I don't agree with that, though.
What do you think?
Dude, I don't fucking know what that mask was. I don't fucking know what that mummy was. I don't fucking know what it wanted with us or why it hated Adi so much. But I'm never going back to find out.
So admittedly, Marcus's story was more strange than horrifying. But I thought it might interest you guys. And while he's on the subject of forests, let's get into our next creepy tale. Early this spring, I was fucking around in one of those little towns dotting Lake Huron's coast, and I decided on a whim to go get a drink at this divey tavern. Well, to be honest, it wasn't a whim. I was driving by, and I spotted a cloaked shadowy figure through the swirling flakes of snow, standing near a street lamp in the parking lot. Same old song and all that. As frustrating as I found their constant presence, I knew a sign when I saw it. By the time I parked, the shadow was gone. I wanted a beer anyway, so I went inside. A few drinks in, I got to chatting with the locals. One group of regulars in particular drew me in. A dozen gruff old guys, for the bar was a second home. Of course, after a while, my little hobby came up, and they called it chasing spooks. They also said that I was a damn fool for digging into that kind of shit. So I asked for their stories. And they had plenty of good ones. But here's the one that stuck with me. Case number 18, Metsan Peito. Location, East Towan, Michigan. Date, April 23rd, 2018. Witness name, Ari J. Relationship to case, sole witness, or victim. Ari is a gruff, weathered man with a gray beard and a piercing blue gaze. A long, jagged scar runs over one eye. He tells me he's nearly 80, but doesn't look it. He's over 6'6", with a muscular tone of a man half his age. If I look this good when I'm 87, I'll start believing in God. As humorless as Ari appears at first glance, the guy is a riot. Over half a dozen drinks of dark black ale, and he regales me with stories of his time working as a logger in the dense forests of northern Michigan. He shows me the jumble of scars which run down both arms, each knot of flesh with a history of its own. Judging by how the other patrons react to him, Ari seems to be a bit of a local celebrity. I start recording when he starts talking about his scars, thinking I might catch something interesting. I've been recording conversations with strangers for months. It's almost second nature now.
Yeah, I tell ya, at that particular camp, it was a piece of crap. Fire safety regulations went anyway. I'm surprised I didn't lose my whole blessed arm.
your arm's one thing. I want to know about that big ugly fucker on your face. The laughter around the table dies down slowly as Ari stares me down pensively. Apparently, I said the wrong thing. Ari lets me sweat for 30 more seconds before his face breaks into a wide, crinkly grin. He reaches up and runs a big, square finger down the scar over his eye.
Meh, you guys take it so damn seriously. It's been more than 50 fucking years, for crap's sake.
Well, what happened?
Well, you said you wanted scary stories. All right. Let me tell you. Now, this would have been maybe 58, 59. I was back home from a logging trip in mid-October. It was already getting fucking cold up north, so I was happy to leave off for a few months and find some work in town. My wife and I, at the time, we had this little cabin out in a big old piece of land. A couple of acres of forest, a little creek, even a swimming hole. A beautiful, beautiful place. Well, I'd lived there since I was a boy. My parents left it to me when they passed. I tell ya, I knew those woods like the back of my hand. I played in them as a kid, hunted in them, camped in them, all over too. Every single acre, every fucking rock and tree for miles, back of my hand. Which, I guess, is why what happened that October was just so damn strange.
Oh, come on, don't leave me in suspense. If it scares you, it's gotta be good.
Well, it was a You know, like I said, just strange. It happened one afternoon when my wife was in bed with the flu. We took our old dog on a long walk every evening. We had a trail that we followed that took you about a mile into the forest, then looped you back around near the cabin. The dog loved it too. He was a good boy. Well, the wife isn't in any shape to go walking, not in that October chill anyway, sick as she is. So I bundle myself up and go out alone. I didn't mind, truth be told. I liked walking alone on occasion, and it gave me time to think and all that. So my dog and I walk into the woods around sunset, along the trail that I've walked hundreds of times, mind you. Thousands of times, in fact. I mean, my fucking boot prints might as well be stamped into the ground there. The dog's as happy as can be, barking and shooting through the undergrowth, chasing birds and whatnot, and it's nice for the first bit. Peaceful. The thing I should mention about this trail is, for the first quarter mile or so, you're going deeper into the woods. It's all uphill. It's an easy slope, nothing too steep, but we like to complain about it. Anyway, once you get to the crest of the hill, you can look back and see our little cabin off in the distance through the trees. We always did that, kind of a tradition. In fact, we made a game out of it. No looking back until you get to the top of the hill. But that night, I don't know, the sun was almost down at that point and the woods were just real quiet. Maybe it was just because my wife wasn't with me, but I started feeling a little spooked. I told myself that I was being stupid, but it just felt weird. So I stopped before I even reached the top of that first hill, and I turned around and smiled at the lamplight through the windows way off between the trees, and then I just kept walking. Now, this might have been where I fucked up. I don't know, I don't think I'll ever know for sure, but when I got to the hill crest, I paused again. And I saw a long stick poking up out of the ground next to the trail. It was a perfect walking stick, I thought. A bit of cleaning, maybe some whittling of the knots and all that, but it was a kind of black sort of wood I'd never seen before. Really pretty, mind you. Anyway, I didn't think about it, and I just took hold of the stick and yanked. It was buried pretty deep in the ground, though, and it didn't want to come out easy, so I gave it another yank, and still stuck. So I pushed on it and twisted it and pulled it. But finally, I kind of got it, and I kind of ripped it out of the ground. I still remember the sound it made coming out, though. A kind of a tearing, sucking sound. And hanging from the end of the stick was what looked to me like a tangle of thick black hair, maybe. It was coated in mud, so I figured that there were some kind of weird roots or something. Something odd, though, was that a sizable portion of the underbrush around the sticks sort of jerked and rustled when I did it. Almost like a horse shaking off dust. Like I just yanked out a hangnail of the forest floor or something. I thought maybe I'd disturbed some kind of underground root system or something, but for a second there, it gave me the heebie-jeebies, that's for sure. Well, I ignored the kind of creepy feeling and just went on my way. A new walking stick in hand. I shook the mud off and scraped the hair roots away, and it worked pretty damn fine. So I started heading down the hill. It's getting darker, and I'm whistling along, and after a while, I notice the old dog is right at my heels. That's pretty strange in and of itself, because usually, when he's in our woods, he's always off like a rocket, checking out his territory and all. But now he's sticking so close, and his body's low to the ground too, tail between his legs. He looks like he's getting scolded or something. Or I guess what he looked like was scared, but I didn't think like that at the time. So I stopped to kind of check on him, see if he's got his nose bit by a badger or something. He looked fine, but he was whimpering now too, and I got to looking around to see if there's a big animal stalking us or something, and I noticed something really strange. I told you before that those woods were a second home to me. I knew them inside and out, and we were still on the trail, same trail I walked every evening. But now, looking around, nothing seemed familiar. I kept walking though, thinking that I'd see some kind of landmark. There should have been a boulder over here, a certain tree stump over there, you know. But nothing. The trail was still there, but it just looked different. More rocky and narrow. But it was impossible. Even if I'd taken a wrong turn off the beaten track, I knew these woods. And I just felt completely, disorientated. Completely out of my element, you know? And the dog is scared stiff too, hackles raised, whining. I look off into the dark woods and they seem to stretch on for miles. We're heading downhill, but I think after a while it should be flattening out by now. The woods aren't that hilly, you know, and we've been on a downward slope for a long damn while now. A long damn while. But I look ahead of me and all I see is more downhill slope. Not only that too, but it's getting steeper. And well, it's almost like a fucking mountain trail now. The slope is that steep. That's when I stop and I look and the forest is just completely silent. Full dark now and not a fucking star in the sky. But can't even see the moon. I think, I hope that I just feel out of sorts because of how fucking dark it is. So I call the old dog and we start back the way we came, back up the hill. Except now, here's the funny thing. The uphill grade is steep at first, but as I'm walking, I notice it starts to level out, and before I'm even back at the crest of the first hill, well, suddenly, I'm heading downwards again. Like, I just went over a fulcrum of a giant seesaw or something. I even see what I think are the lights of my house, way down below me, much further away than they should be. Felt like if I slipped, I'd just tumble on down the trail for hours before I hit it.
What?
Yeah, that's what I said. I walked downhill at least half a mile, turned around and went straight back the way I came. No fucking possible way I was walking downhill again. I didn't know what else to do, so I just kept walking. Down, 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 and the grade just kept getting steeper and steeper until I was more sliding than walking. Ahead of me, or should I say below me, sort of, the forest was darker than I'd ever seen. I got the feeling I wasn't wanted there, wasn't welcome. Like I'd done something bad and my woods had turned against me. But I swear, every so often, I thought that I could see the lights of home, poking through the branches here and there, and I was just too damn scared to walk into the woods on either side though, so I just kept on the trail. The old dog was following me, silent. I tried switching back a few times, going back uphill, but every time the ground would end up leveling out and taking me back down again. It was like the forest was shifting around me, so subtle that I couldn't even see the changes. This went on for, I don't know, hours. It got to the point where it felt like the sun should be rising, in fact, but the sky just stayed this blanket of black. The forest should be waking up by now, but it was just completely silent. I looked up for a rooftop, a chimney, something in the distance, and I thought I caught glimpses sometimes, but I was never sure. Was that a shack, a mirage? What if that never was my house in the first place? That made my head swim a bit. Is this dementia, a stroke? But then, I started hearing, way off in the distance I started hearing, the occasional crack of branches breaking and leaves rustling. And I kept walking and kept walking and there were more cracks. They were a bit closer now, a twig snapping underfoot, like something was moving through the woods. I kept walking, the trail's getting steeper, and again, more cracking. I hear some branches break off the trees behind me, way high up in the trees, mind you. I keep walking, kind of hurrying now, and there's a bigger crack. It's to my left, and got to be only a couple of yards off the trail, too. And boy, it's something big, something huge, in fact, moving around in the darkness. I get a real bad watch sort of feeling, like there's eyes on me from all sides. Hateful, really hateful eyes. So I stop still to listen, and nothing. There's nothing. But then the dog starts barking. He spotted something up ahead of us, something down the hill that I can't see. And I tell you, it's got him scared. He's yowling up a storm, and I gotta go grab his collar, but he suddenly rips out of my grasp and takes off down the trail. And now I start shouting, you know, because at this point, I'm damn near shitting my pants. And I run after him, but I'm sliding and stumbling, and the fucking trail is so steep, and I end up tripping over some kind of rock or log, and before I know it, I'm flying headfirst down the hill. It's a long fall, and just wham, I land hard, and I eat gravel, almost knocked me out cold. My face is all scraped up, but what really did the most damage is that fucking black walking stick. I hadn't noticed before, but the damn thing was covered in thorns, I guess, or spikes, or quills maybe, but they laid flat until you rubbed them the wrong way. I don't know how my hands weren't all cut up, you know, but when I fell against it, those things tore my face up from my chin to my forehead. Hurt like a bitch, too. Almost blinded me, in fact. So I sit up and I'm dizzy. Blood's pouring down my face and I can still hear the old dog barking up in the distance. I take a second to get my bearings and I'm just getting to my feet when I hear the old dog yelp and go quiet.
Jesus.
Yeah, he was a good old boy, that one. But anyway, now I'm alone in these dark woods and I'm more lost than ever, barely clinging on to what feels like a fucking cliffside. I'm in hostile territory and boy do they know I'm here. And there's something big and vicious right up ahead of me, down the trail, coming towards me now too. So I pick up that thorny fucking stick, bloody, nearly blind in one eye, and I just turn tail and run. Back up the slope, away from the noise, was all I was thinking, fast as I can, using the stick for balance. And behind me, I hear the sound of fucking hooves. But not exactly hooves. They sound more fleshy. Padded hooves, maybe. Massive, though. Stumpy feet beating against the ground, coming right for me. Something big, something huge. Bigger than a deer, for sure. Bigger than a horse, too. Big enough to kill a full-grown Rottweiler like an afterthought. And it's picking up the pace. Full-on galloping now. Full speed. Gigantic fucking flesh stumps just coming right for me. I don't turn to look, I just keep running, and just like before, the ground levels out, but it's real quick this time. I barely get 10 yards, and I feel myself heading back downhill, and I think, oh, fuck this. So I take the black walking stick, and I scream at the thing that's following me. I scream, if you want it back so bad, just take it. And I chuck the damn stick as far as I can into the woods, and then I just run the other way. I don't stop for at least an hour, but the slope of the ground just never steepens, and after a while, the sky starts to get lighter. The woods start to get familiar again. And I end up making it back home, and you should have seen the wife's face when I come screaming in around 4 a.m, bloody and babbling with no dog in sight. More scared than I've ever seen her, before or since.
How long were you gone?
Look who knows his folklore, eh? Well, I was actually missing for 2 weeks.
Jesus.
Yeah, they sent out search parties and everything. I didn't find a damn thing besides the collar over that old dog. It was hanging from the highest branch of a tree, not 10 yards from the house. And well, we stayed on for a while, but it was just never the same. But the land was haunted now. We'd find gigantic animal tracks every now and then, and each big as a platter, maybe bigger even. It vaguely looked like deer hooves too, but they came in groups of six, like this deer had an extra set of legs or something. Can you imagine the fucking animal attached to those things? Fucking lucky I never saw it. We'd also find big clumps of black hair up in the trees too. Not witch moss, mind you. I know what that looks like. This was definitely hair, like thick horsehair or something. And every so often, we'd hear the old dog barking off in the distance too. I told my wife never to follow the sound. That old dog was dead. No doubt of that in my mind. No doubt. So, whatever was out there, it was trying to lure us back in. I think back to that walking stick a lot, you know. Coming out of the ground like that. The more I think about it, the more I realize that the thing wasn't made of wood. It felt more like a quill or a claw or something. Something from an animal, though, for sure, but I couldn't say what it was made out of, to be honest. But then again, maybe I'm just changing up my memory, thinking about those hooves and all. Maybe it was a stick, after all. I don't know. When my wife got pregnant, though, the hoof print started appearing closer to the house, circled around it in the night, and we'd hear it sometimes through the windows, just breathing and huffing like a big horse, stomping around on its padded fleshy hooves. Oddly enough, though, we never saw it, though. And that's when we left. It was just too dangerous, and I didn't know what it wanted with the baby. And, well, that's the end of it. We moved south a ways, but ended up back in Michigan. Never had another haunt come for me again. Once was enough. Still have the scars from this one.
Will you ever go back?
To the old property? No way in hell, boy. Once a place gets tainted like that, it doesn't ever get untainted, you know? And I'm not telling you where in this great state the forest lies, so don't start asking, okay?
We laugh. The tension at the table breaks for a moment until I glance over to the door. There's a shadowy figure there, like a silent sentinel. I stare at it until Ari leans towards me, pointing, a crease between his eyebrows. He delivers his final word on the subject.
Listen, you don't fuck with the forest, kid. You don't take what's not yours to take. Because, trust me on this one, it'll fuck you right back.
That night, tossing and turning in the back of the RV, I couldn't get Ari's tale out of my mind. It was something out of traditional folklore, some variant of Rip Van Winkle, a passage into an alternate world, a spiriting away. It was not something I'd ever heard from someone who actually experienced it. It wouldn't let me sleep, even drunk as I was. I stared at the low ceiling and considered discounting it as a lie. But with everything I knew, with what I had been through, who the hell was I to doubt? Maybe some fairy tales were true. When I drifted off, I dreamt of a door. Commonplace. Gray metal. Set into a blank, whitewashed wall. Could have been any door, anywhere. But looking at it, I was filled with a dread, the likes of which you only know in dreams. Something was behind it. Something vast and primal. It brought to mind the darkness of the hole in that apartment basement. The endlessness of Ari's forest. The mystery of the thing in the lake. And all that protected me was a few inches of cold steel. I wanted to back away. I stepped closer instead. And as I watched, the handle was pushed down from the inside. The latch clicked, the door creaked open. I woke up. And hovering above me, inches away, was a face made of darkness. I tried to yell, but I couldn't. The shadow man, the one who wore the brim black hat, had his hand placed firmly on my chest. Its pressure there was incredible. I couldn't move. I couldn't breathe. God. Not his face. Solid black, a living shadow, yeah. But for the first time, I saw his features clearly. Two perfectly round, circular eyes with pinprick pupils, a mouth full of square ivory teeth, no nose, nothing else. Just eyes and teeth, stark white against the inky black field of his face. He stared at me for a long moment, his face too close, giving me an unsettling grin. With his lidless eyes so round, his pupils so tiny, it didn't look much like a smile at all. Just the facsimile of one. Then he backed away, removing his hand. I gasped in a gulp of air, but found I still couldn't move. Okay, I thought. Okay. It's just sleep paralysis. I'd never had it before, but I'd heard about it. Even knowing that, the feeling of dread wasn't going away. Like it had escaped my dream and permeated the waking world. It hung heavy in my chest. I slid my eyes to the hat man, now standing by the corner of the bed. So tall his head brushed the ceiling. I just knew. The way he was showing his teeth, the way his tiny pupils were focused directly on me. He was about to attack. He and his minions had been stalking me for months, and it all led to this. Any moment now, he'd swoop down upon me, helpless here in my bed, and the rest of the shadowy figures would emerge too, from the cracks in the walls and the ceiling where they were watching, waiting. And the Hat Man would open that toothy mouth of his, and it would just keep opening. I met the Hat Man's gaze, those unnerving white spheres, determined to at least be looking at him when he attacked. And for a long moment, he didn't move. Then he spread his arms, and his teeth began to part, and my courage broke. With a Herculean effort, I managed to turn my head away from him and squeeze my eyes shut, waiting for the bite. Nothing happened. I opened my eyes again, to sunlight filling the RV. It was morning. The Hat Man was gone. I dreamt that door a lot after that. He was always the same. I'd always wake up right as it began to crack open. Luckily, though, the Hat Man never got that close to me again.